Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Sherry, thank you very much. Hope everyone had a wonderful, relaxing weekend, huh? You lost an hour's sleep and lost a lot of money in the stock market. Not a good combination, that's for sure. And a couple of banks have collapsed. Well, last week when we scheduled our first guest tonight, that was not on the agenda. I guarantee you we will get to that in quite a bit of depth during a lot of the program later on tonight. But first off, and we will talk about that briefly with Congressman Seth Moulton. Congressman Moulton, how was your weekend? I hope it was better than mine.
Well, it wasn't the best weekend on record, Dan.
Plus, we lose an hour's worth of sleep. I mean, that's like salt in an open wound.
No, I know.
In all seriousness, we had scheduled this with you before everything went on out on the West Coast, and with the bank in New York, Signature Bank, and the West Coast Bank, the Silicon Valley Bank. I just would be remiss if we have a number of subjects we do want to talk about, and also take some phone calls. We'll get you out of here by 8:30. But what do you make of this Silicon Valley Bank situation? You have been in Congress for a while, and I'm sure you have thought about, is this a canary in the coal mine, or is this a one or a two off, and we'll eventually bounce back? People are worried.
Well, we hope it's not a canary in the coal mine, in the sense that we don't want to see widespread failures, you know, a massive run on banks. But it's not the best analogy, really, because the problem right now is that this isn't just about math and balance sheets. That's definitely true for Silicon Valley Bank and a few others. But at some point, it just becomes about psychology, right? And people get concerned about having their money in smaller or regional banks, even if it's totally safe. And that's obviously the situation we want to avoid. That's why it was so important that the president, the administration, came out with a really robust rescue plan to bail out depositors, but importantly, not to bail out the banks. The owners of these banks, I mean, they're screwed. You know, they're going to get the losses that they deserve. But depositors, at least, will be okay. And that sends a strong message to people everywhere that their money is safe. Their money is safe that they're counting on. They're counting on it to be there when they need to make a withdrawal.
What do we do with the president of the bank and I think the CFO and maybe others who were dumping stock 10 or 12 days ago?
Well, not only that, but the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank made over $9 million. Mm. $9 million in compensation last year.
Yeah.
And now he's started a potential financial crisis. So I want to see that compensation clawed back. I want to see him pay the penalties that, at least in part, will pay back the people who are losing money on all this.
But there was also some suggestion that he and some of some people who he knew were selling stock at you know, last week when, well, not last week, but the week before when the stock was at 239. It's now, well, I don't know, it's now useless, but as of Friday, I think it closed at 36. So they knew what was coming.
If they did that, I haven't heard that report, Dan. If they did that, then obviously they should be held accountable for that as well.
Fair enough.
I heard another story that they were handing out bonuses on last Friday, on the day this all collapsed, they're handing out bonuses. But let me say one more thing. I was in Congress in 2018, not that long ago, when Congress voted to undo the regulations on all these banks.
Right.
And I voted against that. And it wasn't a popular position. The banks were lobbying us really hard to give them relief from these regulations. But that vote is what led to the crisis this week.
Well, that was a smart vote, and I thank you for making that vote. As I'm sure you know, there's a lot of pressure on members of Congress, particularly from the folks who work work their wares on K Street, the lobbyists. I know this is a developing story. Thanks for commenting and talking about that a little bit. But what I'd like to talk about are some issues that I know you're very concerned about, and issues that I noticed you talking about. You've talked about these for a long time, but one that I want to start off with is the Special Immigrant Visa Program. And I heard you maybe 2 weeks ago, which really prompted the invitation, although you're welcome any night to come on. I'm sure you know that. We've left a lot of people behind in Afghanistan and Iraq. I understood from what you said at the time that the Taliban were hunting these people down. And this is a horrific legacy for us to leave people behind who helped you and other combat veterans while you were on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. How could that possibly have happened? And is there anything we can do about it?
Look, Dan, it's a moral travesty. That's why so many vets are upset about it and are working day and night still working day and night. To get people out of Afghanistan that they trusted with their lives. But it's even worse than that, because it's also a huge problem for our national security, because the world knows what's happening. The world knows what America has done. And the next time that we go to another country and ask someone to be our ally, to work with us, to help us be safe when we're traveling around in a foreign place, which is what many of these translators did, well beyond just simply translating the language. They helped keep us safe because they know the territory. The next time we ask for that help, a lot of people are going to say, no way, because I saw what you did to the people you asked for help in Afghanistan. You promised to take care of them. You promised to get them out of there if their lives were in danger. And then you dropped the ball. Then you just left, and you left them all behind. So there are a lot of reasons why we got to fix this. Now, the good news is there's still time to fix it. There's not time to save the people who've already been hunted down. And I don't want to gloss over that point.
Yeah.
As we talk on the radio tonight, there are Taliban out there hunting down the people that we worked with, the people that we trusted with our lives, the people who trusted us with their lives. And we're not going to get all of them, but there is still a lot that we can get before they get caught by these ruthless Taliban terrorists. And that's why it's so important that we keep working on this.
Yeah, Congressman, do you have any idea how can you quantify that in terms? And again, I it's probably almost nigh on impossible to quantify, but do you have any idea at this point how many people we left behind? I'm not even talking about American citizens. I'm talking about, people who worked with, American soldiers like yourself who spent time in the Middle East. Do we can you quantify that at all for us or no? Are we talking a few hundred? Are we talking thousands? What are we talking about?
We're talking thousands. We're talking thousands. And understand, these are the best of the best, right? Yeah. I mean, these are men and women, mostly young men and women, who were willing to risk their lives, not just for their country, but for ours.
Yeah.
They put their lives on the line for America, the same way our troops do. That's why, look, there are a lot of, some people say, we already have too many immigrants or something like that. There's plenty of problems with our immigration system. But you see veterans, it doesn't matter whether Democratic veterans, Republican veterans. I mean, you see veterans even across the world, because, of course, we served with British troops, for example. And all the veterans are banding together and standing up and saying, we've got to get these guys out.
This is pretty tough stuff. My guest is Congressman Seth Moulton. Congressman Moulton, there's a couple of other pieces of legislation specifically that I want to talk about, and also maybe take a couple of phone calls if you're willing. I know we've got to get you out of here by 8:30. Appreciate you again coming on the program. Let us take a quick break, and we'll get back. I want to talk about the Brandon Act, and I also want to talk about the GI Bill Restoration Act, which I think also are important to you because they're veterans-related issues. We'll get back with Congressman Seth Moulton. If you'd like to join the conversation, you got to be quick, 617-254-1030. This is Night's Eye with Dan Ray, coming right back with Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
My guest, Congressman Seth Moulton. Congressman Moulton, I know that there's a couple of pieces of legislation and a couple of other topics I want to get to. The Brandon Act is something that you have been pushing for a while, deals with mental health problems for those who have served. Where do we stand on that at this point?
It's been passed into law. It's been passed into law, and yet the DOD, the Pentagon, just refuses to actually implement it, which means they're not fundamentally following the law that we passed. And let me just explain what this does. This just provides a way for troops on active duty, if they're having a major mental health crisis, to get help outside the chain of command. This is important because sometimes you don't have a supportive chain of command. Sometimes your mental health crisis comes from the chain of command. In fact, it's named after a petty officer in the Navy who lost his life to suicide because he was essentially getting crucified by his own chain of command. He had nowhere to turn for help. And so his parents, who are some of the bravest, you know, survivors of a tragedy like this that I've ever met, they came up with this idea. We've been working together. It's taken 2 years to get passed. But what's absolutely criminal is that months after it was passed into law, the Pentagon refuses to actually implement it, refuses to actually just tell the troops that they can use it. And as a result, we've got service members across all branches of the military now being denied access to life-saving care.
Okay, now this has to be tough for you both as a veteran and an advocate for veterans and as a Democrat. This is the Biden administration's Department of Defense.
Well, as you know, Dan, I'm an equal opportunity critic.
Yep, I know that. So I'm going to give you a chance. Go right ahead.
I don't care whether it's a Democratic president or Secretary of Defense or Republican. What I care about is the troops. I mean, because I've seen far too many servicemen and women and veterans die by suicide. I mean, look, this is just an unbelievably shocking statistic. But in the last 20 years, the war on terror, we've lost more than 30,000 active duty personnel and veterans to suicide, which is more than four times the number of combat deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan combined.
Yeah, that is a huge, that is just a huge number.
And there's just no excuse for it.
Let's talk about the GI Bill restoration, which goes back to another war of the Greatest Generation, World War II, dealing with black veterans. What can we accomplish with that, the GI Bill Restoration Act?
So this is another thing that a lot of Americans don't know about. I didn't know how bad this was until actually a Marine on my team brought it to my attention. But the GI Bill, of course, was an amazing benefit for veterans, starting with the veterans of World War II. It enabled them to come back to get a home loan from the VA to buy a home and go to college, which, of course, you know, buying a home and going to college are the two most important ways to build wealth for you and your family in this country. And the GI Bill was passed through Congress without any discrimination. I mean, there was no there were no separate benefits for black versus white veterans, which was a big win at the time, of course, back in 1946. But the problem is that when it came to actually implementing the GI Bill, like actually issuing those loans and those vouchers to go to school, there were a lot of racist administrators. And so across the country, black veterans were denied this benefit that they had earned. And of course, it hurts not just them, but it hurts their offspring. It hurts generations of Americans, because you're much more likely to own a home if your parents owned a home. You're much more likely to go to college if your parents went to college. And this was systematically denied. Let's throw out another statistic. In the New York, like sort of northern New Jersey, New York suburbs, in 1 year, in 1947, there were 67,000 home loans issued to veterans. Out of those 67,000 home loans, 100 out of 67,000 went to black veterans. So what this bill does is it just restores those benefits to the veterans if they're still alive or to their descendants.
All right. That's an important piece of legislation, and I know that you're going to stay on that. Real quickly, there was a story tonight that the MBTA is now being advised by the MBTA leadership, the commuters who use the MBTA are being advised that they need now to build another 40 minutes into their commute each day. And that is the advice from the MBTA. Now, I realize that you're not the governor, but do you have a comment on that? There's a lot of folks from your district who rely upon the MBTA to get in and out of Boston every day.
It's an absolute, just abject embarrassment. And it seems like the stories from the MBTA just keep getting worse. And look, we're Massachusetts. We've led the nation in so many things. We have the best schools in the nation. We've led the nation in healthcare. Romney Care, you know, became a problem. All these things, right? And yet we can't just get trains to run as fast as they were running 100 years ago.
Yeah.
This is absurd. There are hundreds of transit agencies across America, all over the world, that do this in their sleep. And yet our transit system was faster 100 years ago than it is now. That's pathetic. And how am I supposed to encourage people to take the T, right? I used to take the T all the time. I haven't taken the T in ages.
Yeah.
Because
no,
you can't trust it.
Right. Well, remember last summer there was the poor woman who jumped out of the T off that trestle into the Mystic River.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, they can't make that stuff up. I was talking with my region president today, Alan Chartrand of iHeart, and he said to say hello to you because I think he was down in Washington and met with you a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, and he asked me to, again, emphasize the issue of AM radio and electric vehicles. I know you're a big proponent of electric vehicles, but we're concerned that AM radio might be eliminated from electric vehicles. I know that's not your decision to make, but whatever support you can provide that, we would appreciate it, that's for sure, because AM radio is very critical service in times, particularly times of crisis to this country, as it will be in the next 24 to 48 hours, by the way.
Oh, I hear you. I mean, look, I turned into AM radio growing up. Every morning there was a snowstorm to see if school would be canceled. And I know a lot of kids in Massachusetts and their parents still do, and they count on that.
And they also, you know, will count on it when they're driving home from New York AM has a tremendous reach as opposed to FM radio, which is wonderful, don't get me wrong, but AM has that tremendous reach. Let's see, Congressman, if we can get a I believe that Ed Markey from Massachusetts, Senator Markey, is leading the charge on this in the Senate, and I hope that you'll get involved in it at the House level as well. You got a lot on your plate, though. We do understand that. Let's see if we can get a phone call or two in for you, if that's all right.
Sure.
I think we're going to get a district here. We have Thomas in Lynn. Tom, I think you're in Congressman Moulton's district, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Sure am.
Right.
Yeah, sure am.
All right, you're
Lynn,
on
I'll just
Moulton.
Sit
you got to be quick, though.
What?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, Moulton, why did you try to take
well,
the
how about this? His name, he's Congressman Seth Moulton, Tom. Don't hesitate to employ the honorific that he has, that he deserves as a member of Congress.
Yeah, okay. Why did you try to take the VA clinic out of Lynn?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Excuse me?
Why did you try to take the VA clinic out of Lynn?
So, first of all, I did not do that. I have not done that. In fact, I've done the exact opposite, which is I've been fighting to keep it in Lynn, and I've been working on this all the time, putting a lot of time and effort into it because the VA requires supervision. And you should know, Thomas, that I'm the only member of Congress who gets his health care at the VA. So I know this more personally than any other guy out there. I made that commitment when I got elected to continue going to the VA for my own personal health care.
Okay, all right. Stop with the speech, all right?
Okay, good night, Tom. Thanks very much for calling. You've been really a wonderful caller. Seth, Congressman, I apologize for his rudeness. Let me go to Larry in Burlington.
Yeah, you can call me Seth. It's all good.
I didn't realize there were impolite people in your district. Let's go to Larry in Burlington. Larry, go right ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Congressman Moulton. My daughter was one of those ones that were almost left behind in Afghanistan, but that's the story for another day. Dan, it would be a great interview. My daughter is back in Afghanistan living there. But I have two quick questions.
Is she, Tom, is she Afghan, or did she marry someone in Afghanistan?
No, she's an American. She's my daughter.
No, I know that. I'm just living... Tom, I'm on the radio. You could be Afghan as far as I know. How is she back in Afghanistan, Tom? Larry.
She got out the day Biden pulled the plug. President Biden pulled the plug.
Yeah.
And then just last November, she left all her business equipment. She's an NGO. Left all her business equipment, her cats and everything there. And Afghan was taking care of everything.
Yeah.
She flew back in November, and she's living there now trying to get her act together.
Okay. So what's your question for Congressman Moulton? Go ahead.
Larry, she sounds like a real hero, Larry.
Yeah. Two quick questions, and then I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Yeah, sure.
The first one is 90% of people are against turning the clocks. Why can't Congress do something? Okay, second question. Windfall elimination provision. I know your office is for eliminating it. My wife has been a longtime teacher, retired, has a pension. She also worked in the private sector and has Social Security statement, but they're penalizing her two-thirds of her Social Security. It's her money that she earned, and they won't give it to her. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry. Larry has a daughter in Afghanistan, and he's worried about daylight savings time.
Well, look, first of all, I'm worried about his daughter, first of all.
Yeah,
and it sounds like she's a real hero, helping out the Afghan people, as we were doing there for a long time. But America pulled the plug. Larry's daughter hasn't pulled the plug, and she deserves a lot of credit for that from everything I can tell. First of all, I'm completely with you on daylight savings time. I have been advocating for this for a while. The bill passed the Senate, but our leadership did not take it up in the House. We didn't even get a chance to vote on it in the House. But let me guarantee you, when this comes for a vote, I will vote to eliminate daylight savings time. I think that's the right decision for the country. And by the way, the studies show it will save lives.
And by the way, just for clarification, you have said that you're an equal opportunity critic. You were referring to the previous House leadership.
That's right. It was Pelosi's decision not to take it up.
Yep. Okay.
But I'm hoping Kevin McCarthy will make the opposite decision, and we'll get a chance to vote on it. And then on the last piece, the windfall elimination provision. Look, this was something put into law under President Reagan to basically cut back on the benefits, the Social Security benefits that people have earned when they worked, did a job like Larry's wife working for, as a teacher, or working in some other position in local government or whatever else. And then the government comes in and says, oh, no, you're making this other retirement. So we're going to take away the retirement that you earned from the government. And it was a way for the government to save money. But they're taking away something that you earned.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, good on you for going on and getting another job with more retirement benefits after you served in government. Government shouldn't come and stab you in the back and say we're taking that away. So I also, as Larry said, I very much support reforming this.
Well, Congressman, I on behalf of Tom, will apologize. I probably won't.
That's all right.
but I'm just saying that's what we do here. You know, on Nightside, whoever calls in first, we put him up, and I put Tom up
because I think
he was in the district. I hope that doesn't discourage you to come back soon. Okay, I mean that seriously.
No. Love it, and I mean, frankly, look, Tom was just wrong. I mean, I'm actually with Tom on this issue. But he was misinformed, and that happens these days.
Well, I refer to people like Tom, Congressman, as often mistaken, but never in doubt.
That's pretty accurate. We need a lot of them, but it's all good, Dan. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's my job to work for Tom. You know, he doesn't work for me. I work for him. I'm his representative in Congress, whether he voted for me or not. It's my job to be his public servant. And I take that seriously. And I serve a lot of people who I disagree with. So that's okay.
Congressman, I appreciate very much. You've done a great job in Congress, and I tell my Republican friends that there's at least three or four members of the delegation who I have a lot of faith in, and you and Steve Lynch and Lori Trahan are amongst that group. So I don't know if that helps you or hurts you, but that's how I feel about you. You've been a great guy. You served this country honorably. You didn't have to go and serve. You put yourself in harm's way, and you're still fighting for those who are over there, and I admire that very much. I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and it's always a pleasure coming on your show.
All right, talk to you soon. Talk to you soon. Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts. We do have some other callers on the line. I apologize. We can only get a couple, and I tend to take them as they call in. So now, when we get back, we're going to talk about the big story of the day, and that is, where is the American banking system, and where is the American market going, and who is to blame for this disaster? This weekend, this is something that, after the Great Depression, after the recessions, the savings and loan crisis of the late 80s and 2008, I thought this stuff was behind us. Apparently it isn't. Feel free if you'd like to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, I think, for the balance of the program. That is my idea. Your thoughts, your concerns, your apprehensions. Let's talk about it here on North America's Back Porch, coming back on Nightside. Right after the news, we're a little bit late. We'll get to the news right now.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
All right. Before we get to it, I will tell you that at the end of this week, we're all working towards the end of the week and St. Patrick's Day. And in honor of St. Patrick's Day, our good pals at collegehype.com in Dorchester have told me that I could give away some great T-shirts. These are beautiful shirts. They're green, as of course you would expect, with a white shamrock on the front and very patriotic red, white, and blue shamrock on the back of these. I wish I could show them to you. They're really good. And if you'd like to look at them, just go to Southie Apparel. Southie Apparel, all one word, .com, and you can check them out for yourself. And there may be a lucky winner or two tonight who ends up with a free of charge. And you can't beg for them. If you start to beg, you get disqualified. It's just if you give me a good phone call tonight and make some comments that we find interesting, you'll be in line, possible, to get a beautiful College Hype T-shirt. And if you want to see what they look like, just go to southieapparel.com and look for the ones with the shamrock. A small shamrock on the front and a beautiful patriotic red, white, and blue shamrock on the back. So I don't know how many of you have followed this story of the bank out in California and now another bank in New York. I must say that as critical as I can be of the Biden administration, I thought that the president came out today forcefully. Now, the sad part about this is that even with the forceful statement of the president, the stock market took a real hit today. Not as big as perhaps some feared, but there was decisive action taken. Now, some people are going to disagree with the action that was taken, and I might be amongst that group, to be really honest with you. But having lived through some of the prior bank problems, if you go back to the savings and loan crisis, if you go back to the recession of 2008, this was a good sized bank. Now, Congressman Moulton referred to the fact that there were some changes, which we can get to those. But this bank, although it's out in Silicon Valley, out in California, it does have a real ripple effect across the country, and here in New England, as the Globe very clearly mentioned over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And This is a problem for everybody. I mean, you don't need to be a multimillionaire or a billionaire to realize that this is a problem. I look at, for example, bank stocks. Once again, we're down today and down dramatically. And banks, whether you realize it or not, are really very much the backbone of our society. I mean, I'm looking at banks that were off 6 or 7 percent today. Now, some of them are going to come back, hopefully, after hours trading, and I think that futures might be looking up a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of these banks are really in jeopardy. There's just no way to describe it other than that, and it affects all of us. So the question that I have is, who do you blame? Because, look, you and I don't make bank policies. It's as simple as that. However, today, even with the president, well, let me play a little bit of the president this morning. And I thought he was on at 9 o'clock in the morning, so probably not too many of you caught him. But I thought he had a statement which was pretty important, and the importance of it was underlined by the fact, took no questions. This is cut number 9. This is the president this morning talking about the failure of this bank over the weekend, the Silicon Valley Bank. I think it's the 16th biggest bank in the country, and it is now out of business. Cut 9, Rob.
Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country that deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well.
Well, at least in the short term, the president went on to talk about what his administration did. We'll play one more of those for now. We'll take a break and then we'll get some phone calls. So this is the president saying that when they found out about the problem last week, question is, why did not someone think about this problem 2 weeks ago or a month ago? Aren't there people in our government who are in these positions, whether it's, again, a Treasury Secretary or the people in the FDIC? We're the bank regulators. To me, this shows a systemic failure of the system, which is much more frightening to me than just one bank being shuttered. Cut 9A, Rob.
Last week, when we learned of the problems of the banks and the impact they could have on jobs, some small businesses, and banking system overall, I instructed my team to act quickly to protect these interests. They've done that. On Friday, the government regulator in charge, the FDIC, took control of Silicon Valley Bank's assets. And over the weekend, it took control of Signature Bank's assets. Treasury Secretary Yellen and a team of banking regulators have taken action, immediate action.
Well, yeah, but not before, first of all, I mean, people were terrified over the weekend. You saw those pictures of people lined up outside of those banks. It looked to me like 2008, or it looked to me like the Great Depression of the late 20s, the early 1930s. I just don't understand how something like this can come to pass. Now, there are theories, and we can discuss some of those theories, but we'll take a break. We got a couple of commercial messages. In the meantime, my question is, who do you blame? I mean, this is on President Biden's watch. This is not something that has occurred in the March of his first year. This is the March of his third year. So he's been in office for 2 years and 2 months at this point. So this is not something, although he did try to reflect it back to the prior administration, as Congressman Moulton noted in our conversation earlier, there was a Democratic Congress that passed that, a Democratic House that passed that. So this is there's plenty of blame to go around here, and at the end of the day, It's your money and my money that is not only at risk, but it's your money and my money that is impacted. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. We'll be right back on Nightside.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
So we're going to talk about this for a while tonight, and we're going to try to explain it as best we can. But let me try to set out very quickly here before we go to phone calls. Back in 2008, 2009, after the historic meltdown, the Great Recession, if you will, that I think most of us who are listening tonight remember, Congress passed some tough banking regulations. And again, in the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis, remember the banking system was, it seemed to be in worse shape. Back in that day, it concluded that if you had a bank of $50 billion in assets, okay, which was a lot of banks, a lot of major national banks, but also regional banks, you had to go through this stress testing, and you had to have enough what they call high-quality liquid assets to survive a crisis. Well, the lack of liquidity was the big problem for Silicon Valley. Now, what happened was in 2019, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, you know who he is, okay, spoke in favor of lifting that number from $50 billion up to $250 billion. The bank that failed, Silicon Valley Bank, as I understand it, is at about $200 billion. It's grown very, very quickly. It has grown too quickly, as a matter of fact. It grew from $56 billion back in 2018, less than, 4 years later, it was up around $200 billion. So, it kept the federal government kept checking and testing the so-called big banks, the ones that were over, the so-called ones that were too big to fail. And I mean, you'd have Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, as well as Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, State Street, and Bank of New York Mellon. Okay, however, this bank, along with the other bank, Signature Bank, were not tested every year, the so-called stress test. And that's what happened. Now, we're going to get into more of it. There are people out there who know a heck of a lot more about this than I do. I'd love to have you join this conversation. Let me go real quickly to Paul in Needham, and let me get at least one or two callers in before we go to the 9 o'clock news. Paul, your thoughts on this disastrous weekend.
Yeah, what you were referring to really was that the Dodd-Frank Act
in 2008, 2009, correct?
Yeah. I just want to make a comment. Now, listen, haven't heard a word from Nancy Pelosi. She represents California. Haven't heard a word from Adam Schiff. He represents California. And the vice president, a former senator from California. I haven't heard of any comments from them about this situation with the banks. Have you or any of your listeners?
No. Again, I don't know that Adam Schiff probably was one vote in Congress. I don't know how he voted. As Seth Bolton mentioned earlier in the hour, it was the Democratic Congress, Democratic House, Nancy Pelosi House. I believe the Republicans controlled the Senate at the time, and President Trump, who basically raised the level of close inspection from 50 billion up to 250 billion, and Silicon Valley would have been under that that umbrella, and maybe this would have been avoided. I mean, the banks put a lot of money. Now, what's going to happen is I think that a lot of people are going to flee smaller banks, which I think is a mistake myself. But I think that the big winners here will be the bigger banks, the Bank of America. People will go to the Bank of America and say, "Oh, they're safer." So there'll be other banks that that fold up. That's for sure.
If this happened under Trump's watch, you can be sure that Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and the vice president would have plenty to say about
it. Sure, but you're absolutely right. Of course, but. But again, we can politicize it all night, which is fine. I think clearly the Biden administration has had plenty of time to turn around and say, guess what? We think that the the Congress in 2019 and 2018 did the wrong thing, and that President Trump did the wrong thing. President Biden took a shot at President Trump today. But the fact of the matter is, this was a scary weekend for a lot of people, and I hope that that it can get corrected and we can get back on track. I mean, the market has been brutal. It's been brutal. And it was brutal today, that's for sure. Look, Paul, I gotta let you run because I'm flat out of time. So we're going to the news, but thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Back right after the 9 o'clock news. In the meantime, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Coming back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.